Nah, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM.
Brittany.
Yes.
I thought you were going to play your music.
No, I already picked this one. Because
I'm like, she was telling us what kind of music she likes, and then Jump Around comes on, and I'm like.
I like old school hip hop.
All right. I got you.
Let's get to our headlines here for the third hour. Brought to you by Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation, just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one. We got Goosies, No Goosies coming up later on this hour. The Marlins, they beat the Astros yesterday 6-4. Eduardo Hernandez and Graham Pauly went deep for the fish.
Let me tell you, squeaky cheeks in that last couple of innings. Bases loaded.
And you had the when Calvin Boucher made that play at the plate.
Oh, that was all. I mean,
that was a great play. And then they go to the old replay, and you're like, and you're
it wasn't even close. Wasn't even close.
I didn't think it was either until, but I wasn't for sure until they got that back angle. I was like, thank God, thank God.
Whew. Whew.
Got to watch out for that Altuve. You know, he's tiny, sneaky, gets a lot of hits.
Who's the the player from the Marlins that idolized Altuve, because they're the same size.
Sanoja.
Yeah.
Javier Sanoja. Loves Altuve.
Yeah, because they're like the same size.
Pretty much. I think he's actually bigger than him, which, you know.
One's 5'7", one's 5'6".
They were saying this on the broadcast. I think it was Rod Allen was talking about this, that they think Altuve is going to be the last guy to get 3,000 hits.
Really?
Yeah.
How close is he?
I think he's like 600 away.
Jeez.
I think. No, maybe it was fewer than that. Let me see. Hold on.
He can't. 600. That's 3 years.
That's 3 years. And he's 35. Which, I mean, he could keep playing. Yeah. That guy's going to be hitting singles probably till he's 45. Career hits for Altuve. Yeah, he's about 650 away.
All right.
650 away. And he let's see. What's he been doing? You know, in the seasons he plays, he's like 160. I mean, a year ago, he had 185 hits. So, keeps going. What's his contract?
They ain't really putting a whole lot of emphasis on singles, though. Like, they treating baseball like the three-point shot.
Yep.
Home runs or outs.
Yeah, he's got another – he just started an extension this year. He's got another 4 years. He'll probably get it done.
And then the other the scary thing is that – I mean, a singles guy ain't going to get no playing time. Like, remember, it used to be he doesn't strike out. That's great for our lineup. He doesn't strike out. He always puts the bat on the ball.
They're making you go to the meeting, JFig?
Oh, yeah.
No, hey.
They're making me go.
Hey, this is how I'm preparing for this meeting.
I told you not to go hobnobbing today.
Hey. Napkins, a fork, two plates.
Just don't be the question guy.
I don't ask questions. I don't want to talk to the people in there. Why would I ask questions?
The only question he'll be asking is, where's the plate?
Yeah. Like, hey, let me tell you something about these company meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They hold the food hostage. So you're only there because they haven't opened up the box for the pizza.
That's definitely what they do.
Not me.
Yesterday, we had the Patriots had a brawl at camp, and Mike Vrabel jumped into the fracas and ended up bloodied.
So the Ravens had one with Tennessee. They're practicing with Tennessee.
The Bucks did.
The Bucks are practicing with Tennessee. He tried to get in the middle of it and got bloodied.
No, this was at the Patriots. That also happened today.
Okay. Gotcha.
But yes, the Bucks and the Titans apparently got into a little bit of a dust up.
Dude. So, you know, when Bill first took over, there was a fight. Two big guys. Bill got in between them, and one guy took a swing and almost knocked him out. Hit Bill instead of the player. And Bill got in the meeting that night, said, "I'm not breaking up no more fights. I've learned my lesson," he said, "but if you get in a fight and somebody gets hurt, both guys will be fined every day until the other guy returns to practice.
Mm.
No more fights.
Wow. I'm expecting the Dolphins and Bears to get you. If the Bears are fighting each other, it feels like they're going to be setting up for a Dolphins fight.
Sometimes the fights have more to do with the style of football you play, right? Mm-hmm. Some teams play a lot of zone. Some teams want to see if their corners and DBs and linebackers can be aggressive with receivers. So you play kind of a more press. And there's a lot of grabbing, and then that causes fights.
I don't know. I think preseason fights are so goofy. Every time I see that, I'm like, what are we doing?
Can I just tell you, Brittany?
Yeah, tell me some firsthand
experience. All fights are goofy.
It's true.
When you see fights on the internet, how they start.
Goofy.
Right? Goofy. But you're talking about one of the manliest sports out there. I would say hockey's pretty damn manly too, because they, like, lower body injury, dude could miss 7 months and you just thought he had a boo-boo. Or cracked sternum and plays another game. Like, yep. Yeah. So I'm giving him all the credit. But in defense of your manhood, you will sometimes get into fights you don't even really want to be in.
And it's like, what's so serious about training camp practice that you need to be fighting each
other? Because you can't just allow when it's here. Football is a sport where you're trying to show your dominance, either running the football or catching the football or whatever. Right? So if that is ever threatened and you're going to give the appearance of being soft, now you got to defend yourself. Right? And that's how it comes across as a fight. And that's it.
Like, I don't think this was the big fight
to make a point, not a fight to win.
I don't think this was the big fight at Bucks Titans, but this was some of the chippiness that was going on. It was a one-on-one between Cody Mock and Jeffrey Simmons, and it got a little. This is from Logan Robinson, who covers the Bucks or Titans, and it gets a little chippy after Simmons gets tossed to the ground.
That's it. You see what I'm saying?
Finger poking.
Like, you got to be tough. Why you got to be tough? You lost.
Yep.
But now, because he threw you to the ground, now you look soft in front of your boys. So now you got to get up and defend yourself for reasons I can't explain. Watch. Good play. Boom. Toss him to the ground. He had his hands inside. Hey, don't throw me to the ground. Right? That's it. And ain't nobody going to do nothing. You know why? Because you got all your pads on and it's hot as hell. And you don't want to burn no energy doing this stuff. And they're going to say, do it again. So, yeah.
Goofy. So goofy.
It is. But guess what? There's been many a wars, many a fights over stuff very similar to this that you don't want to get punked or pushed around.
Schmeathan says, I'm sorry, but you don't look tough wearing that pillow on your helmet.
No.
Guardian cap?
Especially when, that's not the reason why you would get the concussion anyway.
Nope.
Right. So
I would have more respect. Take off the helmet, you know? It's like you're fighting.
Why?
You're hitting the helmet. Like, it's not even a real fight.
Of course. But you made your point.
No.
That's what it's about.
Goofy.
It's about making your point that you not soft.
Goofy.
That's it. Well, many of men have gotten their ass kicked trying to prove they are not soft.
We will take a break. One guy who may be stirring it up when he gets to joint practice is left tackle Patrick Paul, who explains why he loves to talk trash. We'll give you that coming up next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM, streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. Channel Miami 560 WQAM. You guys can catch us there every single weekday from 10 a.m. to 2. as we got Miami Dolphins joint practice tomorrow. We have our first preseason game on Sunday, Game Day Uncensored, coming your way at 11. So only 2 hours of preseason coverage.
Turn on your microphone, Leroy.
Thanks, Britt.
No, don't blame Brittany. You have your button right there.
0191.
No, what is... Really?
What?
I feel like the generals.
Getting killed. Technology. The Miami Dolphins will get going. Shpeethan says it's hour and 59 minutes too many for a preseason game. At least it's not 4 hours.
Four hours for preseason
was a lot last year, Shpeethan.
I personally think you should just do it like hockey.
Just a half hour?
20 minutes. Let's go.
Just a 20-minute. Here's what we got here today, Dolphins and Bears. Hey, listen. I'm happy it got whittled down to 2 hours.
That's just for during preseason, regular season. Though.
That's just preseason. But
Do you go over, like, during the because I think I'm going to do YouTube this year.
You're going to do what? Like live watch-alongs or reactions?
No, I'm going to do like I'll watch all the games from this division and the AFC North and then talk about it on Twitch and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, just number football. Help people understand what the hell they're looking at. Because it's cool. I like I tell you all the time. You can watch a game and see something that I don't see, right? I'm not saying that people are just ridiculous watching games. Like, everybody can notice something different. However, sometimes you don't fully understand what you're seeing, right? Like, we always think the guy that got burnt is the guy that was chasing, and that's not the case at all.
Sometimes you're the toast, sometimes you're the butter. I'll take my minus one. I'm sorry.
That's
what?
Minus one.
Jennifer?
Yes.
You prefer marmalade?
Have you ever heard sometimes you're the toast and sometimes you're the butter?
No.
Okay.
You know what you mean, though, right?
It makes zero sense.
Either way, you're breakfast food.
Toast is not breakfast food.
What? It's exclusively breakfast
food. If you said I'm having toast, that's not automatically make it a breakfast food. If you say I'm having a bagel or a muffin or something like, then you could say, yeah.
Okay. What? What are you talking about? So let me just get this straight. Yeah,
I'm having an English muffin, right? You don't have rando English muffin. That's usually breakfast. But if you say I'm having toast, you can have toast all times during the day.
I think you can have.
What are you talking about? Who has afternoon toast?
I do. I have toast just for dinner. Toast for dinner? One of my favorite meals.
Get out of here.
My wife makes banana bread when she takes toast, puts peanut butter, and puts banana on top. And she
calls
it a sandwich.
That's bread. Not toast.
No, it's like an open-faced sandwich.
Mm-hmm. No.
Toasties. And I also eat English muffins.
A toasty is a grilled cheese. It is just a British word for grilled cheese. That's all a toasty is.
What?
A toasty.
Now all of a sudden you're British?
Love Island.
Love Island, when they're saying they're making toasties, all that is a sandwich with toasted bread. That's not toast.
Why does Timbo Slice says Leroy has lost what's left of his damn mind? By me saying
you're just like
toast is not exclusive to breakfast.
I agree with Leroy on this one. It is not exclusive to breakfast.
Maybe it's not exclusive, but it's if you were doing Family Feud and you surveyed 100 people and you say, when do you have toast? 95 people are saying breakfast.
No, that's not true.
You're high that's as a kite true. Right now, Yogi.
Because what time about a wait, 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 toast wait, wait, in the morning,
wait, wait, wait. Patty melt.
Okay, patty melt is a sandwich. It's not like the first thing you're thinking of is I'm having toast. A toast side dish, which is when most, or just having toast
Wait,
as a starter meal, is usually dish? Breakfast.
What the hell is you? A toast side? Oh, give me a side of toast.
Hold on. Yes. I'm not going to let you do this, okay?
You always say that, but then I do it anyway.
I'm not going to let you do that. When you go to a restaurant,
yeah,
give me the meals where they will list on a breakfast as one of the things you're getting included in your meal as toast. Because they're not doing that for any other meal but breakfast.
Correct. I agree. I agree with that. But toast is not exclusive to breakfast.
Why are you fighting Leroy? I mean, Tobin.
It's just because he's a ridiculous take.
No, toast is not exclusive to breakfast.
It's most notorious for breakfast.
I do eat it during breakfast.
I could have eggs for dinner. I'm an idiot, but I could do it.
You don't like breakfast for dinner? You
know it's what? Fine, but it's breakfast for dinner. You've just said the key word there, Brittany. It is flipping.
There's
the
two
moments.
There's two moments you have toast. There's two moments you have eggs. Breakfast or on the way home from the club.
No, Leroy. So you can have it anytime you want.
To prevent a hangover. Okay.
I don't know. You know how sometimes you go out and you leave the club. And you go, damn, I'm hungry.
You go to IHOP.
You go to Denny's. IHOP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Evan 11 says they do give you toast at restaurants. The bread you eat before the meal.
There you go.
Dude.
Boom.
Dude.
Boom.
That's
boom.
Bread. Boom. That's not toast. And I'm not. No.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Getting into the semantics. What? Toast is not exclusive to breakfast. If
you put the butter on the bread and the bread is hot,
mm-hmm.
and the butter melts, is that not?
No.
That's toast.
It has to be crisp. The inside has to be crisp. That's toast.
No, I don't even.
This is the dumbest.
It's not the
dumbest.
I mean, it's Leroy's fault.
We've ever had, by the way.
Texas
jukebox
toast?
This Texas toast. It's a different bread. Doesn't count.
That's
what?
Very different.
No.
Though.
It's now like saying a deer and a reindeer. It's two different things.
That's why I don't like. I don't like. What is it? A French toast. Stupid.
It's
like
not
just
stupid.
Because you dip it in egg and put it in and fry it, still toast.
Dave South says, you have to toast bread to make it toast. What the hell are we talking about?
I don't even know, it has its own conversation. It's so ridiculous.
It has an instrument, a toaster.
No, you don't.
No,
you could toast bread other ways.
I toast my buns in the oven.
You can toast it in the oven. You can toast it on a pan. You can toast it in the air fryer.
Please.
You're toasting your buns next to that dude in his drawers.
Oh, no. That, listen. Hey, I was not off on that.
I toast my buns in the oven.
Well, speaking of a guy who's toasting buns, Patrick Paul, he's been having a good camp. Everybody's raving about Patrick Paul having a great camp. We learned this week he's talking a lot of smack out there, and this is what the Dolphins left tackle had to say about where all that smack talk comes from.
I think it makes it fun. You know, one of my favorite athletes growing up was Conor McGregor. And I liked his approach to it. He'd beat the people before he even went against them, just purely off of getting in their head. It's just, you know, depends on the person. Depends on the day they're having also, their approach. But it's easy to get under someone's skin. It doesn't even have to be something crazy. Just something minute. Like a laughter when you're locking somebody up. That'll get them, I'm not going to lie. So it really depends on the person. And, you know, you just have to have fun with it. That's
so
all.
I think that's true. Let me tell you the greatest insult to an athlete in any sport. If you're beating them and you acting like you're not even trying, right? So the fact that he's blocking somebody and then laughing like he's not even trying hard, ugh. But here's the problem. The big guys, like, they're big and strong for a reason, and mm-hmm. you could be – as mad as you want, sometimes there's nothing you can do about it.
That's got to be very annoying.
Yes, it is.
But man, this guy's out here. You think he's going to do the Conor McGregor strut if he pancakes somebody?
I will say this. You got to be careful because you want to talk trash if you're a trash talker. But you don't want to talk too much trash. Then now he gets some assistance and say, we got to get this guy back. Right?
That's true. But man, he is a giant.
I've seen situations where collectively guys had to be dealt with.
It can escalate a little bit.
No, it's just that they make a conscious effort. So like I remember when I was in college, we had a guy that we wasn't too fond of and we asked our coach during the spring game, who was Cam Cameron. We asked him if we could run the same play and double this one defensive lineman all the way down the field. And so we ran the same play and just doubled him with two 300-pound linemen all the way down the field and laughed the whole time. Yeah, that's like, yeah, you can get people back that talk trash. So I would just say there's a level of humility that you will experience either on your own or with help.
Well, we do know that if there is a fight tomorrow between the Bears and the Dolphins, look to number 52 because
it won't. Those guys,
his Power Rangers mask.
Those guys don't normally fight like that, though.
We'll
it's
see.
Usually like linebackers, DBs, tight ends, wide receivers, because like they don't like the over aggressiveness that you can do in these practices, but you can't do during the game.
We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Well, actually, they're not, because this guy's a fraud. Let me just tell you something, Brittany. This dude is an A1 fraud, because nobody talks such a big game about, I'm so anti-suit, I'm the anti-Cooper. He thinks of himself almost like a radio punk rocker, like he's so anti-suit. And then Looky Lou, who decides to go hobnobbing today and has to be there for the meeting. I'd expect this from Jennifer. She does the newsletter. Oh. But from you, Leroy, I'm disappointed.
No, I mean, I don't know why that's happening. It's not even playing. Anyways, he was like, I'm only here for the food. So I was like, he claims that he came to represent you and him because, you know, you have to be home this week. And so, but it's all because he wants pizza. It's all because
he doesn't
he wants
have to
pizza.
Represent me. I've already explained my situation. Exactly. I saw Galen yesterday. I saw the big boss yesterday. I was hobnobbing yesterday when they weren't there. And now all of a sudden he wants to act like he's doing me a favor. He's not doing me a favor. Exactly. He's doing him a favor.
And it's free food. It's free lunch.
That's crazy. Did you get excited to hear Mario Cristobal on with Joe Rose this morning? Are you excited for Kane's camp?
I'm excited. I mean, I was excited to hear that they were there. I was excited to hear what Mario had to say for sure. But I don't listen. I'm really bad about listening to like preseason stuff. I don't know. I'm more of like a when the season starts kind of gal. Because it's like, oh, empty promises, and sometimes, you know, the game
totally
the
fair.
teams don't look like what they look like when the you know season starts. So I mean, yeah, it's like politics, you know, like the preseason's so political to me in a way where it's like they're just giving you promises and promises, and you're just like, okay, I'll wait to see once that game happens against Notre Dame, let's see what you have to actually do.
I was watching Get Up today, and they were talking about the opener, and they were basically saying that this is the at-large game, so whoever doesn't win or whoever wins is going to get an at-large. Now, the Canes can get one anyway because they could win the ACC, technically.
Yeah.
Well, that's never happened in their history. but let's just say that they do. I was like, I already see what you guys are doing. You're making inroads and excuses for Notre Dame.
Well,
I can see this coming a mile away.
But that's the case. It's like, and that's what – so annoying about the Miami Hurricanes is like, I hate to be one of those fans that's like, the media hates us and everybody's, you know, against us, but it's a fact at this point. It's been proven time and time again. And like last year, I understand our fate was in our own hands. We messed up our road to, you know, the playoffs, but it's like, you're already setting the stage and setting a different precedent for everyone else. But if the Canes go to Notre Dame and they lose that game, and they lose it bad, it's like, we're written off. That's it. You're not even going to see us in the top 25.
No, they're gonna forget about them for sure. But if Notre Dame does it, they'll be like, oh, they lost to a top 10 team. They'll move the Canes
exactly.
They'll move the Canes up a slot to 9. Like I'm 100% with you. Look, I'm just I honestly feel like, and this is what I think is going to happen, is that like this is going to be probably even more in the identity of what Mario wanted, because he keeps mentioning how good the run game was last year, mm-hmm. even though it kind of leaned all Cam Ward. And it just feels like he's gushing about this offensive line, him and Mirabal, more than he ever has. You know, Maui Noah's got a ticket right to the first round.
Yeah, but like, don't you feel like that happened last season too? It's like, oh, this offensive line.
Yeah, but I think then you were like, yeah, but we have a magician at quarterback.
Yeah.
And I do think that while I think Carson Beck can put up good numbers, I think that this is going to be, they're going to smash people in the mouth even more. I think that's what they're going to dictate. Now, can they stop anybody? Remains to be seen. I have no idea. I have no idea what Corey Heatherman is going to be able to do for this team.
The biggest question mark is the defense at this point. Like, there's no doubt about it. And like, I was talking to my friend about this the other day, and he was like, "Oh, but you know, we cleaned house and we fired the defensive coordinator and all all the secondary." Like, I would hope so after what happened last season, but it was like, you know, all the secondary, we cleaned house, we told everybody, you know, to leave if they weren't drafted, and this is that and the other. And I'm like, that's great, that's fine and dandy, but it's like, the problems were massive on defense. They were massive.
Yeah, especially in the second half of the year.
Exactly.
Like, it felt like it got worse, which is kind of weird.
Which is crazy.
That it felt like things that were going fine early on in the year, that they just got, I don't know, unbearable by year's end. I don't really understand what the hell happened there.
It was unwatchable at times. It was so incredibly frustrating.
It was depressing because you'd like watch these things and you'd feel like you'd have no shot even with whatever magic the offense was putting forward. But I'm with everybody in the chat who's like, look, it was not the offense's problem. I get you. I just think we have a question because when you lose the number one overall pick, you're going to be nervous.
But
I don't care.
But
I think
that's the thing. It's like, we keep trying to think that this is going to be Cam Ward's offense, but like, his biggest targets last season were drafted. They're gone. All of them are pretty much gone.
You know, that's so why I think like, that's why I think it's like when Mario talks about leaning into the run, I think this is what they're going to try and do is just completely overwhelm people with all their 6'8" monsters. And I do think that that's not going anywhere because they're saying like, they got their next wave that's going to come after it. So I think that's an exciting element. And then hopefully, you know, Carson Beck, like, listen, stay out of the headlines for the wrong reasons. Go mirror and do your thing.
I just think for him, it's like, we just need him to be decent. You know, we need him to make, you know, a couple passes a game that are, you know, big passes and get us out of bad situations. But rely heavy on, like you said, if you have a good offensive line, like you're claiming you do, you stay heavy on the run game and make sure that the defense can, you know, stop points. I mean, we were putting up 30 to 40 points every single game last season. I don't think we're going to see that this year. So
and also don't get into crazy holes.
Yes, because Cam Ward is not there to get you out of that hole. He is not there to get you out of that hole. So
also, one person who's looking like he's doing some weird stuff in the offseason, this Victor Wembanyama, I don't know what the hell's going on with him, but he's already spent the offseason with Shaolin monks. And now he's off and he's working out with Kevin Garnett, where he is getting some tutelage. And you know Kevin Garnett is going to try and like give him all that that knowledge. But this is what I would say to Victor Wembanyama is like, that's all well and good. But let's not forget, you still got cooked by Khalil Ware last year. So you're already behind the eight ball as it goes with this. I don't know what
Kevin Garnett is teaching him how to hate the Heat. He has Khalil Ware on like a picture with darts and he's just throwing at him because, you know, Kevin, like, there's no one who hates the Heat more than Kevin Garnett. Let's be honest.
He goes, let's not forget what happened on January 19th where we had Khalil Ware's coming out party. And then on top of it, you know, he may be spending with Kevin Garnett, who's going to tell him how to be all intense, which is all well and good. I mean, he's 7'5". I would hope that he could be more intense than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I'm excited about is we got Serbian basketball starting tomorrow, which means that Jovic is going to be with Joker, and they're going to take over all of Europe.
We need to get him to, you know, he needs to get that toughness in him. I feel like Jovic, he's just so like cute and little, and like,
he is adorable.
Need to see, he's so adorable. I just need to see, like, I wanted to see some Jovic out there, you know.
I know everybody's already, see, this is the thing. You talk about disrespect. Like, people are going to be already talking about Nikola Topic because he is,
how many Nikolas are there on one team?
I think they're all Nikolas except for Bogdan Bogdanovic. Yeah. Unless you're a Bogdanovic, you're a Nikola.
That's how it works.
I think that's how the rules work. But I would say, I think that's how it has to work. But from the standpoint of Jovic, you know, Spo put that challenge out to him to make the rotation, and I think that he is. It feels very much like I'm watching a lot of the media that goes by, and you know that Joker is not exactly like the most media savvy guy.
No.
And it feels like the guy that they're pumping out there, Now, mind you, I can't really tell what they're saying because everything is in Serbian. But I feel like with all the media, because I do follow these accounts, that Jovic is in a lot of ways like the voice and face of Serbian basketball.
That's so interesting. So,
yeah, I do feel like he is getting the most rub. More than, even though Bogdanović is the captain and Joker's the best player, it does feel like they're putting this guy out there a lot. Now, he's been with the last three teams. He's been with the World Cup team that finished second. He was with the Olympic team, though he was banged up and had a broken foot. That he finished in bronze. I do feel like they're leaning very much into, you know, this is our up and coming guy. Not Nikola Topic.
You're like the only person I fear in America that cares as much about Serbian basketball.
Yes, though I have a lot invested because I really like my hopes and dreams on this Heat season. They seem to rest on the broad shoulders of Jovic.
Yeah, I don't disagree there. I mean, I want to see nothing more. So hopefully he learns some Joker ways while he's over there in Serbia and can bring them, you know, to the Miami Heat because things aren't looking too good for us.
Schmieden says that he's infuriated that Bam never called KG for a workout. Yeah, but here's the thing, Schmieden. Let me ask you this, dude. How do you think that's going to go over with Udonis Haslam? Because I'm going to say not well. You know what I mean? Like if Bam Adebayo, who, you know, has worked out with greats like Rasheed Wallace, like that's his guy that he kind of comes up with. He works out with others. Imagine the phone call that Bam Adebayo has to make from Udonis Haslam when he gets the first Instagram post of him working out with KG. He's going to be like, you worked out with who?
Yeah, I think
like that's going against the family. Yeah, no, I don't think it's allowed.
No, I think that's not like majorly disrespectful, especially Kevin Garnett, who has been so vocal in hating the Miami Heat. Like he is the number one person. Like he does not let go of that grudge. Like if there's anybody from that Celtics team that does not let go of that grudge, it is him. So yeah, no, Bam could never. Bam would be exiled. He would be like, you're not the captain anymore. You're done here.
I think he would. I think he would threaten to take. I think he would use vice president veto power, yeah. And I think he would strip Bam of his captaincy.
He would come out of retirement, sit on the bench again, just so that Bam could not be the captain anymore.
He needs that. I mean, that's 100% what's going on there, Schmieden, is why he would never do that. I get you. Like, look, Kevin Garnett's an all time great. Nobody's trying to take away his Hall of Fame status, but I don't think that's going over well with your OG.
Nope.
Pretty wild. But Steve is right where he says Paul Pierce is a bigger hater than
I mean that's fair. He is a bigger hater. He always like he still has Dwayne Wade's name in his mouth. It's beyond me. It's like give it up, my guy. Give it up.
We'll take a break here on the show. Get you caught up with your headlines. We'll see if these two bums are back hobnobbing with the company. These suit lovers, and we're back with more to this.